This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Mike Salvatore, and it is just so fantastic to have a chance to catch up with you again and talk about this massive soundtrack for Destiny 2. So welcome, and thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Kate. It's always good to talk to you. It's always nice to hear your friendly voice.
Oh, thanks. Destiny 2 is just, it just blew me away, honestly. And I guess maybe if there's anybody who hasn't played it yet, we could just briefly set the scene, which is that basically everything is destroyed by this really angry enemy, Dominus Gall, and he even takes away the Traveler, which has been giving the Guardians, the players, light and keeping them basically immortal because they can respawn. And so now they're left in this dark and ruined world. And so I guess my first question to you is, when you found out that that was going to happen, what were your first thoughts about that?
I don't know if I should even say this, but when I very first heard that, I was like, you can't do that. It was almost like one of those, there's no crying in baseball kind of moments. I'm like, what? Really? And then obviously we talked about it and we got deeper in the story, and suddenly I got it. And I got what a great opportunity it was to sort of rebuild things from the ground up. And there's no greater tragedy than losing your home, losing your, I mean, you lose everything. And to battle back, to get your powers back and to take back your the city and all that stuff is just from a composer's point of view is just a treasure trove of material to draw from. So I'm a big fan of tragic, and there's plenty of that in this game.
Boy, I'll say, because that was my first thought too, is like, no, I've spent so long, you know, just in this world, how can it all be going away? And that opening sequence when Dominus Gall comes down and the tower gets just absolutely blown apart, and then everything goes dark, and there's that heartbreaking track with the Kronos Quartet, the Lost Light, and then slowly working your way back to finally the safe region, the farm that they've kind of carved out of this really rough world now. How closely did you work with the developers to create the music that absolutely perfectly fits with that whole incredible sequence?
Well, I'm going to be giving a lot of credit to other people here. Sky Lewin actually wrote that piece. That was his vision of how that segment of the game should go, the Lost Light and the Journey piece that he wrote. And in all honesty, I mean, that was sort of like a bit of a jumping off point for us, because just having that sort of tragic, sad, reflective sort of piece really gave us an idea for where we were heading in the game, and it informs a lot of the other music in the game at that point. Sky worked very closely with the developers on that section, and quite frankly, in his favor, he had to swim upstream a little bit to sell that idea. Just musically, I think there might have, you know, I mean, obviously we debate everything here, and everybody's, you know, got a valid opinion and all that stuff. And Sky stood by his guns and said he really felt like that was the way to handle that section. He was just dead right. He had that vision and really sort of led everybody into that way of handling it, and then that really informed what happened afterwards. So it was a good call on his part.
Oh yeah, and I think what makes it so incredibly powerful is that it's not like starting another game where, or later in Destiny even, where you can bring along a friend or a fire team. You really are all alone, and that's what makes the individual voices of the Kronos Quartet just so powerful. And then in Journey, you're gradually joined by more instruments, and then finally the chorus just really kind of supporting you. So it's a really brilliant progression to the point where you can kind of catch your breath and take stock of what's happened. So I'm so glad that he was able to get that vision across to the developers, because it's really a powerful start to a game.
It really is, and we've been getting so many comments online and things like that where people really get emotional about this. And I'm going to pass along your comment, the brilliant comment, by the way. I will be happy to hear that, but seriously, I don't know. Maybe it's not a good idea. He's going to want more money now.
Oh, no, right. Just
yep. No, I love Sky. We have a really good working relationship here and having a lot of fun together, co-writing and coming up with these ideas, and it's been a blast.
Well, yeah, I kind of am thinking of you and Sky and Seapol as like this fire team of composers, you know, kind of like there's the fire team of Zvala and Cade and Akora Ray. You know, they sort of anchor everything, and you guys anchor everything in the music as well.
We are the three musketeers, I'll tell you that. Yeah. We've been doing this for a bit now, and we have a lot of fun. There's a lot of ribbing that goes on between the three of us. I may have told you this in the past, but Sky and Seapol knew each other back in music school.
Yeah, at Berkeley,
so
right?
They tend to sometimes they get on each other a little bit, and sometimes as the third guy in the group here, I sometimes joke that I need to wear my referee shirt with those two guys because they're same age. It's so funny. Here's a good example. You know, if Sky's listening to a Seapol piece and says, I don't know if I like where it goes there, Seapol will, you know, staunchly defend it. If I go to him and say, yeah, maybe you should do something different, he's like, okay. So he'll agree with me. He won't necessarily agree with Sky, though, because he doesn't want to hear from that messenger, apparently. That's just a little story. But I thought you might appreciate that.
Oh.
We do have our vibe, the three of us. And also, we got a lot of help from two outside composers, Rotem Moev from Israel and Peter Schlosser from LA, who both really brought a lot of good stuff to this game. There's no way we could have finished it without those two guys.
Yeah, I can imagine why you need to call for backup, because just the soundtrack album is over 2 hours, and I'm positive there must be way more music than that in the game. So yeah, to get it all done in a year is like a Herculean chore.
We had our doubts about being able to pull it off, but there's over 900 minutes of new music in the game. And it's funny, after putting all that all together, and then it usually falls on my shoulders to start working on the soundtrack, and suddenly I'm looking at all this music and I have to get it down under 180 so that we can fit, you know, because there are people who still like to burn compact discs and play them in their car or whatever, and like myself, because I have an old car, play CDs. So I was like, no, we have to be able to fit the soundtrack on two CDs. That was like a non-negotiable thing. So there was a lot of editing that went on, and it took a while. It took a while to take all that stuff and get it down to an actual usable soundtrack.
Well, sure, because you want it to really kind of show the whole arc of the story and all of the things that are possible and the new areas and stuff. And I really want to get in and talk with you about that, too, creating
sure.
the sound for Nessus and Titan and all of those. But yeah, I'm sure you want it to be non-repetitive and really show off the best of the best. And what I really appreciate about this soundtrack are the really long tracks. Some of them are, you know, 6, 7, nearly 8 minutes, which is great because it gives you the whole sweep of the piece.
Every piece, in my opinion, should tell some kind of a story by itself. It should be listenable by itself. I want it to feel like it has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and all that stuff. And obviously, it's funny. I have a saying with the guys, because we asked like some of the outside guys, like Peter and Rotem, you know, some of those cues were much longer when in the game. And then we said, well, we need soundtrack edits of them. So maybe you could do like a first draft soundtrack edit, because you want the composer to have some control over that. So we had them do it. But I always have this caveat that I send out with that. I'm like, if it's going to be over 6 minutes long, there better be a good reason for it. That, I don't know why, but sort of like my patience with any piece of music starts to hit, you know, obviously except for some of the great classics, but it can hit, I can be like, you know what? I think it's time to move on. And it's always between the fifth and sixth minutes. So I'm always like, guys, give me an edit, make it under 6 minutes if you can. If it's over 6 minutes, there's gotta be a good reason.
Well, what's it like working with newer composers? Because, you know, Bungie's soundtracks going all the way back to Myth have this really distinctive sound. And so as you're working with new composers, I'm sure you want things to sound fresh, but they also have to kind of not conform exactly, but certainly have callbacks and make it sound like it's all, you know, a similar sound, a consistent sound.
That was a pleasant surprise this time around. I wasn't sure how that was going to work. Both Rotem and Peter are friends of Sky. The pleasant surprise was that even though C. Paul and Sky and myself had come up with all these themes, we sent the themes to the outside composers and said, you know, use these, but develop them more. Give us, you know, come at it from a different point of view. We're, you know, and we're pretty specific about what areas they need to cover and what types of stuff we're looking for. But the pleasant surprise was that these guys brought such a fresh approach to our stuff, and I love that. That was really good. You know, there's the occasional time when you get something and you're like, oh, it needs a little more Destiny gravy. It's not quite there yet. But for the most part, and then they would send it back, you know, a second version or something that felt like it belonged in our universe. And that's really the, you know, that's sort of like the bar that you have to always be above and make sure that whatever we're doing still feels like it's part of the universe we're in, you know, and until we start doing like banjo music or something like that, that's I gotta stick to that.
Thank you.
talking with Tom Salta earlier this summer, and he did the remastered music for the re-releases of Halo. And he said to get that sound, he kind of had to break it down to the granular level and sort of reverse engineer what made it sound like your music initially. And so maybe Rotem and Peter did that too.
I think so. And by the way, Tom's a very good friend, and I think he did a fantastic job. I always compliment him on the work he did for Halo.
It must be kind of an interesting feeling to hear somebody else writing music that sounds like you, but not quite.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, that's in his case, that was his job, and he did a fantastic job. And I think he got it. He gets it.
I would love to talk with you more about how the Kronos Quartet got involved in the first place, because, you know, they have this reputation for doing really cutting-edge projects, but as far as I know, this is the first time they've ever recorded a game soundtrack, and so I'm wondering kind of what the learning curve was for them and for you guys, too. What kind of coaching did you have to give them that would be different from, like, a regular recording session for them?
Wow. It was more of a learning experience for me because I've never actually written for quartet before. The big ones we wanted to get, of course, were the Lost Light and the Journey tracks. Those were the important ones. They were fantastic. They were great people. There wasn't really any coaching. It was more a matter of just getting in the studio with them, letting them do their thing, and try not to get in the way. You know, I mean, they were outstanding. And the two pieces that they're on the soundtrack were, you know, I can't even imagine. They came in later in the process for us, so wasn't really sure what to expect. I had actually seen Kronos one time live, and I remember it was a night where they were doing a lot of experimental music, and I thought, wow, they're really awesome. But then I also remember thinking, you know, if someone played a bad note, I would have no way of knowing that because the music was very dissonant. In fact, my wife had come to the concert with me, and she said that the music sounded like a soundtrack to her last migraine. And so I didn't really know what to expect from them. And but they played beautifully together, and they were just warm, friendly. We had a wonderful time out there at Skywalker. In my opinion, it just didn't last long enough. I would have liked to have stayed a couple more days, but you know, you got to keep moving.
Yeah, I suppose. And they've probably have other projects too. But you know, seeing their Twitter feed, they were really excited about it too, because I think what it really shows is that game music is becoming more and more recognized as a really legitimate form of music, because there's so much adventurous music being written for it. So that's fantastic.
I agree with you.
And you also brought back Laura Intravia for a few of the tracks, and her absolutely stunning voice, otherworldly voice. It's really amazing.
She you know, when I talk about people who get it, and you give her a piece and you say, what do you think? And she puts her magic on it, you know? She sings like an angel. I mean, and she, I can't even believe that voice comes out of her.
She's so tiny.
So we're all here, Sky, C. Paul, and myself, we're all huge fans of hers. And we all had her sing on one of our pieces. So she was amazing. Love her. She's in already looking forward to the next time we can work together.
Find an artist that you know what their strengths are, and you can really write to that too. I think that must make it a really exciting project then, rather than writing for an unknown quantity.
Oh, absolutely. I'll be working on a piece, and suddenly it just, I can hear her voice in my head, and I'm thinking, yep, I know where I'm going with this one. And she never disappoints. She just she knows. She's so musical. And always get interesting too, you may not know this, but when she's recording her stuff, she always gives us a few options. You know, she doesn't just do it once. She'll do it a few different ways. You know, maybe one a little lighter, breathier, one a little more full voice or whatever. And she's, which is really handy, because as you're building the piece, you may use different bits, and it's super, super helpful.
Oh, yeah. It probably saves a lot of time too, because you don't have to go back and ask her for a slightly different take or something too. So that's fantastic. You know, you touched on the opportunity that blowing up the world of Destiny gave you to create new music. And there are so many new areas now. There's Io and Nessus and Titan and the European Dead Zone, and then, of course, the farm. So as you were thinking about creating the music for all these different areas, what were some of the things that were really characteristic of the areas that you really wanted to play up or bring out?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I have to confess a little bit here that a lot of the way we operate here is Sky has sort of an idea of what he wants in each set. He does more of the spotting stuff. And so, you know, he'll come to me and say, hey, we need this type of a piece for this this place. I don't get as in into the weeds as he does on in determining what types of music go where, because I just kind of tend to do what I do. And he's like, this is a classic thing. Sky will walk in the room and I'm working on a piece, and he goes, I know exactly where I want to use that. And I'm like, God bless you. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Thank you for validating me, you know, my existence here. No, really, I'm serious. It's like, I tend to sort of just riff and do the things that I do and write different types of things. I mean, I've been doing this long enough now. I know there's certain types of emotions, there's certain types of feelings we're trying to go for, and I will gravitate towards those. And he's like, so what are you working on? I'm like, oh, I'm working on this piece. He goes, that's great. I know exactly what I'm going to do with it. And so, to be honest with you, I sometimes don't really know where my music is going.
Oh,
he's the guy. Who does that, and he's always right. So I try to stay out of his way, actually, pretty much.
I was going to ask how that all works with you and the rest of the music team, and then the developers deciding where things go. And now I know, which is really helpful.
It's Sky, and he works with a guy named Michael Sechrist, who actually, I'm going to throw a shout out to Michael, is a you know, he's one of the younger guys here. He's also a composer, and he's the guy who came up with that farm piece.
Oh, that's a wonderful piece.
That's Michael Sechrist's piece.
Wow.
That was the only piece on the soundtrack of his. But it's a killer piece. It might be the nicest piece on the whole soundtrack. I mean, I love that piece. It's well written. It's surprising as it goes. It goes places you don't expect it to. It's just a really well done piece, and we hope to work more and more of Michael's music into the game as we move on here.
What's so cool about it is that the farm isn't like any place else you go in the game,
right?
Because it's, again, it's the one safe place that they've kind of carved out of the really messed up area of the world now. But it, because it's populated all the time, it has this sort of bustling aspect to it, and his piece, The Farm, really kind of reinforces that, which is so cool.
Yeah, I just love that piece.
So, yeah.
And looking forward to more good things from him, you know, down the road here.
Yeah, and you also roped in the Nashville Recording Orchestra for some of the tracks, and that's new for you guys too, right?
Well, it's funny. We've been trying different things, and there's no, you know, I'm always worried about saying something nice about one group, which would then indicate that maybe we weren't happy with something else that we were doing. But we like to try different things, and we've just heard so many good things about Nashville. You know, if you've ever been there, you realize Nashville, they call it Music City for a reason. Basically, everybody there is a musician or a songwriter or something. I mean, even the servers in the restaurant and the cab drivers, everybody's got a thing, right? So it's a city of musicians. You go there and the brass players and the string players, they're just top-notch players, fantastic players. We started recording a while ago. We started recording at a studio there called Ocean Way, which is actually a converted old church. Just sounds fantastic, and just been very happy with what we've gotten there. Plus, you know, and I have to say this, just going to Nashville, you know, several times a year to record, that's a lot of fun.
I bet.
It's just a very fun city. And so just as a musician, as a composer, whatever, it's like I'm always looking on my calendar and saying, when's the next time we're going to Nashville? Come on, let's go. I want some barbecue. I want to go, you know, jump around from honky-tonk to honky-tonk. I want to go listen to the Nashville Symphony, which I do when I get a chance there. I want to go to a hockey game, you know, go see the Predators. It's just a fun city.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, great extracurricular activities too.
Oh yeah, it's so, a fun place. Like you never get tired of it.
Was there any issue with kind of synthesizing the sound from that studio and that orchestra with the traditional orchestra that you use, the Northwest Sinfonia, and the recordings that you made in that church?
Not at all. We use both of them on this project. The one issue we'll run into is that we do tend to get the stuff that we do here at Bastyr University is just because of the type of room that it is more reverby. So yes, we do have to do some things technically to sort of like make everything match up well, but that's not really a problem. It's pretty simple. And we still did a lot of strings and the woodwinds and the choir here too, but it's just good to have more options, because quite honestly, what happens is sometimes we want to go into record here and it's not available because there's another group in there, something else is going on. So you always have to have a plan B and a plan C to make sure that you can record your stuff when you want to record it. So we have a couple different options that we use.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. Well, I saw a shot in the video of the orchestra at Bastyr, the Northern Sinfonia, with the six horns and a bunch of trombones, and in the score I can also hear a lot of other low wind instruments, and I'm just wondering if that orchestration was in part because of Dominus Gall kind of sucking light away from the Guardians.
When you want to be ominous, you got to go low, right?
Right.
So I grew up with it. When I was a kid, I remember the score to was it Journey to the Center of the Earth. I think Bernard Herrmann did the score. And I remember hearing the contrabassoon playing like this impossibly low note in the score, and I thought, "Whoa, that's awesome. That's scary." Well, you know, that was in the 1950s, but it still works. You know, so you want to be ominous, which by the way rhymes with dominus,
right?
You got to go low, and so yeah, there's a lot of basses, there's a lot of low winds, there's a lot of low horns. It just works.
Thank you.
just as a composer, you know, as you're working on pieces and you're trying to sort of figure out what your voice is, because every game has its own voice, and you want to really make sure that you nail that. This one was, you know, I have my tropes. I have the things I tend to go to. I will tend to go towards chunky cellos, we always call them. that's Mike's thing. He likes getting those cello players to play chunky lines, and I do that. But you want to make sure that you have something more than that. You know, just it's one thing. I tend to write cello parts like a guitar player, like I'm playing guitar riffs, you know. So and that's okay. I accept that because I am a guitar player, and I do tend to think that way. But yeah, woodwinds add so much color and so much personality to what you're doing. It's really nice to have that option.
Well, especially when, you know, early on in the game, where you do get these little glimmers of hope, and then the winds can come in and kind of remind you, or at least give you a sense that it's not completely, you know, blackness, that things are going to maybe turn around a little bit, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. I think one of my favorite moments actually is in, I think it's the third piece on the soundtrack. It was a C. Paul piece, and it starts out with this just this beautiful string motive, and then it goes to a solo trumpet, and the trumpet plays this melody. It's one of my favorite pieces. It's just like, because it's like a lone voice in the wilderness, but it's hopeful. You know,
yeah.
I love that.
I love that one too, Rise. And the other one that I really just, oh, I get choked up every time I hear it, is The Wilds, the one that you wrote with Sky, because again, it starts so simply and it has a very thin texture. And then the longer you listen to it, the more and more it builds. And you think, well, okay, yeah, I can do this.
Yeah, we're going to be okay. that's one of the messages we keep trying to convey, because it's easy to get discouraged when you don't have any power, you don't have any light, and you don't have any weapons. I mean, you're pretty much starting from zero, but you don't ever want anyone to lose hope.
Yes, yeah, that's definitely it. And when we were first talking about, I guess it was The Taken King, the first time we were talking, you mentioned mm-hmm. that one of the things that was really a challenge starting with all this music, new music for Destiny, for a brand new game, was coming up with the themes that you were going to work with. And now that you've got, well, I guess this is the fourth game, you've got four games worth of themes, it must be nice to have sort of hangers to use. Like I'm hearing the Cabal theme come back because of Dominus Gaul and the Red Legion and other familiar themes. So it must not make it easier exactly, but you must feel like you've got some grounding now.
We do, but interestingly enough, unlike Halo, we really have tried to make, even though we always want them to sound like Destiny, we try to make sure each game has some new themes that are very specific to that game. So, I mean, we did that in Halo 2, I guess, also. But more along the lines of this one, I feel like we have some of the main things are really specific to that game, and we don't do a whole lot of repeating of some of the older stuff. We do a little bit of it here and there just to make sure that flavor is there. But maybe a little less so than we used to do in the Halo days, just because it feels like each release has its really own personality, I guess I would say, and its own vibe that we're going for.
Yeah, definitely. Well, there's that really wonderful moment where you get sent off to the Shard of the Traveler, and just for a moment, there's a glimmer of that original Destiny theme, and then it kind of swells off and does something else. But it's a really nice moment, and I got, like, choked up.
We call it the Guardian theme. It's right, something from Destiny 1. That, you know, that bit. But we decided to always reharmonize it when we used it, just to give a little different flavor. So it never quite goes exactly the same way, but it's definitely reminiscent. Again, it was another thing meant to sort of encourage the Guardians and remind them of their past successes. That's what that theme really does. So we used it quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, it turns up a lot. And I'm just thinking back to that new theme that's in so many of the tracks. And do you ever worry that when you're starting on a new soundtrack, you're not going to be able to come up with a theme like that? I mean, what's sort of the process to, probably can't force it, but.
No, but it's funny. That's a good question, because what happens is sometimes our marketing department will come to us early in the process and say, we want the main theme from Destiny 2. And we're like, we don't know what it is yet. we're writing all this music, but here, what happens is, so basically we start out with C. Paul and Sky and myself, just coming up with ideas. We're all coming up with ideas. We're trying different things. We're being like, yes, this works. No, this doesn't work. We're coming up with ideas. But you never know. You need to live with something for a while before it starts to rise to the top. And you say, hey, you know what? This could be one of the main themes. And it takes some time. So we can't always just, like, early in the process say, this is the new theme. This is going to be Destiny 2. Somewhere along the line, that becomes obvious to us. But it never happens early in the process. So you're working on all this stuff. You don't know. You don't know what you're going to end up with. But obviously with the three of us, and we've all three been doing this a long time, there are plenty of themes that are being written, and it's not hard to start going through them, and you start to see the heroes. You start to see which ones are going to be the ones. And we haven't really hit a dry spell yet, you know, and we're all doing it. We're all throwing stuff out there, and fortunately we haven't hit a dry spell yet, and we're already, quite honestly, working on the next release and already starting to come up with those ideas.
Wow. And I would ask you what those are, but I know you can't tell me, so.
There's no rest for us, trust me. Right back to work. You know, we go to the launch party and then it's like back to work the next day.
I'm sure. Well, Mike, it has been so much fun to catch up with you. All of you just really hit it out of the park with this, and the game is just fantastic to play. I finally hit level 20 and I felt like the honored guest. So it's been great. And thank you so much for spending some time.
Always a pleasure, Kate. Thank you. Look forward to the next time.
Me too.